So something that my sister-in-law said kind of sparked what I want to talk about this morning. We were talking about graduation and all, and we talked about dreams, having dreams. And she was saying a couple things, and she said, you know, that'll preach. I said, yeah, I believe it will. I believe it will. So I kind of want to touch base on dreams today. But before I get into that, I do want to go back to our foundational scripture. Why do we talk about everything that we talk about here on Sundays? And hopefully at home when you're talking amongst yourselves. Why do we do that? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, every scripture is God-breathed. Every single word contained in this text is inspired of God and has a purpose. It has every single word, every jot and every tittle in this book has a purpose. For what? For instruction, reproof, conviction of sin, correction of error, discipline and obedience, and training in righteousness. That is right standing with God. And we know, we understand as born-again believers, we are righteous by the blood of Jesus. There is no work that we can do in this earth that is going to make us in right standing with God, but understanding and believing and trusting in the blood of Jesus and His sacrifice alone is all we need to be righteous before God. We need to get a revelation of that, who we are in Christ. Our righteousness in Christ. It's not what we do. It's not what we've done. It's not something we have to do to perform for God. All we got to do is trust in His Son. That's it. Bottom line. How simple does that sound and how easy is it? But we overlook that sometimes. We want to look to ourselves. We want to look to what we're doing. We want to look to our life. We want to look to our past. And say, why? How me? Well, I'm telling you why and how you. It's by Jesus Christ and Him alone. All you need to know is the person of Jesus Christ in your life. And the rest will come. Trust me. It's good for training in righteousness and holy living. Conformity to God's will. His will. In thought, purpose, and action. Why? So that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, you trust in Jesus, and then the good works come. But you got to trust first. You have to believe first. And then those good works. We get it out of place sometimes. We want to do the good works so that we can earn a place in heaven, if you will, or try to build ourselves up. We think we got, you know, and I was there. Look, before I got born again, I said, let me clean up my life a little bit before I come to Christ. Because I knew of Christ. I mean, we went to church as a young kid. I, you know, heard of Him and knew of Him, but I didn't know Him in my heart. And I thought I had to do that before I could have a relationship with this God. But that's not the case. We need to come to Christ first, and then all these other things will fall in line. Amen? And what are these good works that we're talking about? Well, I mean, if you weren't here last Sunday, Steve Mitchell gave a testimony of how he prayed for his neighbor and prayed for healing. And he had a brain tumor that shrunk from the size of a fist down to the size of a quarter or a nickel or something like that. And those are the works that we're talking about doing in this earth. Why? Because that's a testimony. People see that. They understand that. And that's a testimony to people that don't know the God that we know. When we see healings taking place. And this is, listen, where did this happen? Outside of these four walls. You know, I think we get in the, as churchgoers, we get in this vein of thought. Oh, we got to bring them into the building to get them saved, set free, delivered, healed. That's not what my word says. I mean, everywhere you see, Jesus sent them out. Jesus sent them out into the world. He sent them out to do the work. Now, He said, we got the fivefold ministry to to build people up, but it says for the people to go out and do the work of the ministry. And that's what he was testifying to last week. He was doing the work of the ministry out in the marketplace. That's what we're all called to do. We really are. And I love getting together on Sundays. I do. I love celebrating our life in Christ. I love seeing all you beautiful people every Sunday. Some of you I don't see every Sunday. We'll talk about that later. But I do. I think it's important. And especially in these times. In our Revelation class, where we just finished up, and I shared this last week about the churches and where we're at, and how the last or the seventh church really is representative of the church today, the Laodicean church. And y'all know that he calls them lukewarm, and he's going to spew them out of his mouth. And that their deeds or works are neither hot nor cold. And there's some, lukewarm is what he calls them. And he's going to spew them out of his mouth. I don't want to be spewed out of his mouth. I don't. There's work to be done, and we're to do it here in this earth. Amen? And that's why I believe the call has gone out to pray for our president and all those in authority, especially. I believe that we are in a pivotal time, I think someone called it, or a critical time, or an important time in this earth, in this nation. I believe that when God spoke that prayer is a priority, that wasn't just for this church. That was for individual lives. And if you don't have a time of prayer in your life, now I'm not saying you got to get down on your knees on your bedside. I'm not saying you even have to go into a prayer closet. But I'm saying if you're not communicating with God on a regular basis throughout your day, man, you got to be. It's important. It is so important. But I believe that's, this time in this great nation's, the history of this great nation, and especially combined with where we're at on the prophetic time clock of where the church is, I believe that there's some specific things that are going to come to light. And I believe, it's my contention, that this president is going to be used of God to put some of these things in motion. So I would hope that you all stand in the gap. Is he perfect? Isn't it? Are you perfect? Huh? I sure am not. That don't mean I can't be used of God. That don't mean you can't be used of God. Amen? So, dreams. Dreams. What started all that was graduation and college graduates happening. Kyle Herndon's graduating. My daughter's graduating. Chris Lee graduated law school. Dr. Kim Lee's in the house. I know she's going to give me an earful, but she graduated. Dr. Kim Lee. Yes, come on. Don't look at your husband like that, or I'll call you up front. To go back late in life and finish a degree like that, that is something, I'm telling you. Something to be celebrated and to be proud of, I think. So these graduates, right? And we were talking about, having dreams, going off to college or going into a trade or just trying to figure life out. But dreams, and it got me to thinking about dreams. And I wanted to remind you of some dreams. Turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. And I wonder if you remember the dreams and the vision for this congregation, for this church. Why am I not finding this right here? Put it up on the screen. I'm just flipping through my pages here for some reason. Habakkuk 2, verse 2. Lord, I got to walk forward to see it. Brother, give me your glasses. Let me borrow them. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it so plainly upon tablets that everyone who passes may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the end or its fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint, though it tarry, wait. Wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come. It will not be behindhand on its appointed day. Somebody tell me what the vision for this church is. So grow and go. So grow and go. Can you read that when you're passing by quickly? So grow and go. We want to sow faith in people's lives so that they grow in righteousness. Why? So they can go and share the gospel, share the good news with everyone that crosses their path, whether it's on a lawnmower. Now, this is how it happens, folks. I mean, and I... Listen, this isn't to prop up Steve. This is just a recent testimony. But the man came to him. He wasn't going out knocking on doors. He wasn't going out in the marketplace and standing on a street corner. The man came to him. People desire what is on the inside of us. And it's God that draws all men unto himself. And when we let our light shine, people are drawn to that. They need what we have on the inside of us. And I believe it's important, talking about vision and dreams, it's important to have a vision for your life. It's important to have a vision for your life. It's important to write it down and make it plain and keep it before yourself. So grow and go. I have a dream. I have a dream for Christian Growth Center. That one day, it will be the epicenter of a move of God that is going to overtake this valley and beyond. It's going to create a shaking in the earth. That lives are going to be changed. People are going to come to know the Christ that I know, the Messiah, the Deliverer, their Savior. But it can only happen through us. Through us. And just like Habakkuk said, though it tarry, it will not disappoint. It will not be deceived. And so my encouragement to us, to myself, is to continue to stand. My encouragement to you is the vision that you have for your life is for you to continue to stand and see that vision through. To listen, to have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you and how to progress along in that vision for your life. But I believe that, and I believe that there are people sitting here today that have experienced this. I believe there are dream stealers or vision takers. Sometimes even unbeknownst or unknown to them. They come in like wolves among the sheep and they steal your vision, they steal your dream. They take it from you. Not unlike, y'all remember Joseph? had the dream, right? The 11 sheaves were bowing down to him. Shared it. What'd they do? They stole that from him. They took it from him. Now look, it all worked out, right? God used that to his glory because he ended up saving his entire family. The entire nation, listen, the whole nation of Israel, if it wasn't for Joseph. Now, God could have used some other way, I understand that, but he chose this way, through the man of Joseph, to preserve a nation. But there are dream stealers out there. There are vision takers, and we need to be, it's called a spirit of discernment. We need to discern those spirits, that spiritual attack that's coming in and trying to steal our vision. Steal the vision for our life. Steal the dream that God gave us. I believe that Christian Growth Center is the epicenter of something big. Some move of God. And I'm not going to allow the enemy to steal that from me. And I'm going to keep bringing it up before you to encourage you in it. Because we all need each other. This isn't Todd's vision. This is the vision for God's church. Somebody say, I am the church. We, together, collectively, are the church of God. And we need each other. Amen? Amen. Some dream stealers are employed by the enemy. Some act on their own behalf and don't even realize it. Y'all remember Job's friends? His so-called friends. In fact, one of them just why don't you go on and die, man? Just go on and die. You're in your misery. You're miserable. What kind of friends is that? They were trying to steal his vision, the vision for his life, vision for his family. But Job stood the course in the face of adversity, in the face of his friends, and it turned out well. It turned out well. The Bible warns us to beware of wolves in sheep's clothing, to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. It's in the face of adversity when we choose to believe God, stay the course to receive and receive the victory, that we are pleasing unto God. That pleases God. When we can stand, just like that song we sang. I'm telling you, I'm standing by His grace right now with all that we've been doing, trying to renovate a house, trying to move, trying to graduate a child. There's a lot going on, busy in our life. I'm here by His grace. But it's that grace that we need to rely on and trust in every day of our life. Great grace. Why were the disciples able to do all the things that they did? Because of great grace that was on them. It's not in and of ourselves when we do these works we're talking about. It's the one that lives on the inside of us that we trust in, that we rely on. But you got to know who that one is on the inside of you. You got to have relationship with that one on the inside of you. Know thoroughly the one on the inside of you. Intimately. Intimately. Amen? What is the vision for your life? We can have visions of material and physical things. I think that's okay, as long as you what? Seek first the kingdom of God. But more importantly, what is your spiritual vision? What is the vision for your spiritual life? That's the most important, is your spiritual life. What is your vision? I mean, I think there's some people here saying, I don't have a vision. I just do what comes before me on a daily basis. Hey, and trust God, that's okay. But I believe, according to the Word, We're to have a vision for our life. How do you intend to grow? What are you doing to grow? You should be doing something every day on a regular basis, I'll say, to grow. To grow in righteousness. I mean, this is the best way that I know, right here, reading this word. Praying. What are you doing each day to grow in righteousness? We should be doing, endeavoring on a continual basis to be growing in righteousness. And right, and that's our right standing with God. That's just our relationship with God. And go. That's the vision for this church. So grow and go. What does your go look like? What does your go look like? Is it talking to people at the workplace? Is it conversing with your family? Is it, what is it? Is it having a Bible study in your house? What is your go? What does it look like? Are you going? Are we doing the work that we've been called to do? Y'all tell me. Oh, it's quiet in this place. It is quiet. Y'all don't have to act respectable just because my family's in town. But some, you know, opportunities seek us out, right? But the word is still being sent. That can be your go. I mean, when opportunities seek you out, the word is being sent. It's being sent into the earth. That can be your go. And we all, I know we love, but in fact, let's look at it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Let's look at the spiritual gifts. Because when we think of vision for our life, our spiritual life, I mean, I tend to just go back to this chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at these spiritual gifts or spiritual endowments. And let me just read out of the Amplified, verse 4 says, "Now there are distinctive varieties of distributions of endowments or gifts or extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace," there's that word again, "grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. And they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. And there are distinctive varieties of service and ministration, but it is the same Lord who is served. And there are distinctive varieties of operation, of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who inspires and energizes them all in all. But to each one of us, to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit, for good and profit." Remember, we just read, part of going deeper with God is that every word from God, every scripture is God-breathed, God-inspired, for profit, right? For profit. "To one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom, and another the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Holy Spirit. To another, wonder-working faith." Anybody see that movie? Was it Unbreakable? No. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. Anybody see that movie? Breakthrough is a true story about a boy that fell through the ice, and they had pronounced him dead. It was like 45 minutes, something. And obviously, you know, in the movie, I haven't read the book, if there is a book or anything, but that mother standing in that place of authority. She had that increased faith for that moment for her son to live. That is a work. That is one of the works that we are talking about that we are to be doing in this earth. That mother stood in the gap for her dead child to be raised from the dead. That is a spiritual gift that she operated in, that increased faith in that moment, for him to come back to life. Wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit. To another, extraordinary powers of healing. by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophetic insight. That is the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose. To another, the ability to discern and distinguish between utterances of true spirits and false ones. That's where that spiritual discernment that we so need in these times. We need to understand how to discern spirits. Listen, there are spirits in this world. You cannot be blinded to that. I mean, we're a spirit. There are spirits in this world. There are angels that operate among us. There are demons that operate among us. And we need to discern the difference between the two. Spiritual warfare. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, right? I mean, we say this. Marriage class, your spouse is not your enemy. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Look, your spouse may be influenced by a wicked spirit and they don't even know it. Well, you go to war with that spirit that's influencing them, that's driving them, that may be using them to come against you. I mean, you hear, man, my spouse sure doesn't know how to push my buttons. You hear that often, don't you? They sure do know how to push my buttons. They ain't there pushing no button on you, man. It's that spirit behind them, operating through them. And you take authority over the spirit. You don't combat with the flesh and blood. Huh? Amen. Come on. Lord, help me. Discern and distinguish between the utterances of true spirits and false ones. To another, various kinds of unknown tongues. And to another, the ability to interpret such tongues. I know the church has come under such attack, I think, for this. One, it's in the Word of God. How can you deny it? Tongues are a real thing. Interpretation of tongues is a real thing. Sometimes the Holy Spirit has to communicate it in a way to get your mind and your flesh out of the way so that He can say exactly what He needs to say in that moment. And then there are that gift to interpret those tongues so that that all benefit, right? I'll not be ashamed of the gospel and what it says. All these gifts, verse 11, are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit who apportions to each person individually exactly as He chooses. Here's the summary of what I just read. There are different gifts applied in different ways with different results. Caleb may operate in the same gift I do, but in a different way, and he may achieve different results. It's not some cookie cutter formula, right? Carol may operate in a spiritual gift, the same spiritual gift someone else, but the way she does it may be different than that person. And they may get the same result. So don't compare yourself to other people. Don't covet your neighbor's gift. Doesn't mean you can't operate in it. It may be different. And you may get different results from it as well. And that's okay. That's okay. Listen, I'm here today. I want to encourage you today because we got work to do. We got work to do in this earth. It's not. I don't want to be harsh. Lord, help me. I think I'm speaking to myself. We got work to do. And we can't be selfish about our time, about our desires, what we want, what our flesh wants, what our flesh desires. I'm telling you, if you get it in order, if you seek first the kingdom of God, He'll give you those desires of your heart. But He wants that order to be right. He doesn't want you to seek the desires first. He wants you to seek Him and His kingdom. So I read those lists of spiritual gifts, and you're like, man, I didn't even know there was a list. Second of all, I don't identify with any of those. There is a catch. And it's right after that in chapter 13. So if you read on down through, and I'll start. So he goes down and he lists. He says, you know, there are parts in the body. He's talking, as you read on down, there's different parts in the body. You know, how can I save the hand that I have no need of thee? And then 22 picks up and says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. I'm reading out of King James, sorry. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. When we have a praise report, a good testimony come across our path, we're to celebrate with that. We're to rejoice in that. We are. And then if one member is suffering, and we're to suffer with them. We're to understand, be compassionate about it. Be encouraging. And whether one member suffer, we read that now, 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts. And here's your way out. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. See, we're to covet these gifts that we're talking about. These gifts to help build up the body, to do the work of the ministry. We're to covet those gifts. We're to look for them. We're to exercise in them. Exercise them. But there is a more excellent way. A more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains or raise the dead, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. It doesn't seek its own. It's not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Not yet. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest is love. Is love. I'm telling you, if you will just operate in love, it is enough. It is enough. We need to be compassionate. Remember, part of the dream I have for this congregation? That's right. Moving from a place of complacency to a place of compassion. Love. Learning how to love again. How to love one another. How to not backbite, backstab, get in strife over things, get in contention over things. This is not the love of Christ. Especially among the household of faith and our brothers and sisters. No, we're called to love one another. Encourage one another. Lift up one another. And sometimes, yes, rebuke one another. But in love. Amen? So what is your vision for your life? What is your vision? I encourage you to get a vision for your spiritual walk. Get a vision for your life. Now is the time when we'll dream dreams and have visions. Upon our bed, I believe in the middle of the day, as we're driving down the road. If we're sensitive, right? If we've been given ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and we hear, and if we're obedient in what we hear, now is the time. Now is the time for the church to rise up and take its rightful place in this earth where we are influencing the things that are happening in the world. We are the influencers. We're called to be the influencers. We're called to be salt and light. We don't have to just sit back and watch all this stuff unfold before us. We have a voice. And our voice is faith. And we speak those things that be not as though they are. By faith. By faith. Something's not in your life that you've been given a vision for. Speak it forth by faith. Call those things that be not as though they are. If He has shown you something and you don't see it happening, be patient. Just like Habakkuk said, the vision will come to pass. Keep speaking the word over it. Amen?